Are you more nervous now or when you trialled at Nationals and won?
Oh my God, now the nerves at Nationals were bad.
Really?
Yeah, because...
What advice do you have for competitors in the warm-up area to combat pre-trial nerves?
This is a silly one.
Go on.
But it is what I do. You can try that and let me know how it goes.
My best not.
I'm not going to be the steward. It was my dream to go to Nationals.
Yeah.
Like, that is... that was up there. This is my dream to go, and I did it.
You did it. What's your next goal?
The precision work that is involved in Kennel Club obedience, like if you want to be successful in it.
You do it with Axel?
Yeah.
What's the Kennel Club obedience crowd like versus the PSA crowd? Like the culture, I mean.
I pay her to literally tear me apart.
Oh really?
Yeah.
She gets stuck into you.
Yeah. No, my husband's got a snake. It's the most boring pet you could ever have. That's really sad.
Thanks, April. Thanks for that. For bringing your husband's snake up.
Sorry about that. I wish that one would die. Behavioural work is emotionally... It's emotionally draining. You know what it's like. It's hard. And...
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us. My guest this week is dog trainer and PSA competitor April Hume. April is a dog trainer based in Cheshire, England, and has recently flown over to America to compete in the PSA Nationals with her dog, Axel. And she joins us this week to talk about everything from Kennel Club obedience, PSA training, pre-trial nerves, and the emotional toll of becoming a pet dog trainer. This is a fantastic episode that I really enjoyed sitting down with April and talking all things dog, and I really think you're going to take a lot from this one this week. So without further ado, let's head over to April and I chewing the fat. Welcome to Caffeine and Canines podcast episode maybe 10. We don't know.
Okay.
It could be 8, 9 or 10. So you could be the double digit.
I didn't have a lucky number. I think it's...
No?
4. So were you welcome?
Mine's
that?
7. So David Beckham.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Netflix documentary on him?
Yeah,
it's quite good.
My husband's a big United fan.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Where are you from?
Well, we're both from Manchester.
There you go.
But we live in Chester now. So
is that posh? Is Chester posh? Is it notoriously posh?
Chester's quite like... No, I wouldn't say it's posh. There's good areas and bad areas of it, but it's like... There's like a lot of old buildings still and old ruins, old churches, old castles, things like that.
Have you been to York?
I've not been to York, no, but I used to live in North Yorkshire.
Similar vibes. Did you?
Is it? Yeah, where? I used to live in Catterick.
Oh, were you in the military?
No, Matthew was my husband.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we were there. We were only there for 6 months, but I loved it. It's beautiful. Yeah, I love it around here.
When was that?
2015.
Oh.
Yeah, that was 2015.
We've snuck right into this podcast, haven't we? And we're flying.
Really have,
there you are.
Yeah.
There you go. Nerves, goners.
No, they're still there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you more nervous now or when you trialled at Nationals and won
the decoy select? No, the nerves at Nationals were bad.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, I had so much support there.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed to have had so much support. I'll never be able to repay these people back, seriously. Like,
what was the highlight of going to PSA Nationals? Other than the obvious winning decoy select dog. Was it decoy select? Am I saying it right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I did have so much support over there. And from the Americans, the Australians, Pat and Glenn. Yeah. And English people, British, they came over.
Did they?
Came over.
How many? Gendered.
Jen, Danny and Matty and Helen. And I don't... You can't class Scott as British because he's American, but he lived in England and that's where we met, so...
What advice do you have for competitors in the warm-up area to combat pre-trial nerves?
This is a silly one.
Go on.
But it is what I do.
You imagine the steward naked?
No.
Okay.
you can try that and let me know how it goes.
My best not.
I'm not going to be the steward. it's a silly one, but I put on like a superhero suit. I put my headphones in. I listen to some hip hop type music.
Nice.
And I just like go in and I try and like zone into the bad bitch.
Nice.
Superhero suit goes on. And
I'm thinking like Shania Twain. Let's go,
yeah,
girls.
Yeah, we can do that. Nice. Yeah, whatever's on the playlist.
All right.
Sometimes it's Nicki Minaj. Sometimes it's Beyonce.
So it's more about narrowing your focus than it is calming yourself down, or?
Yeah, like, I don't think you can calm yourself down, but anything to try and get into the, like, confident state of mind is, it's important. I don't think there's any calming down, because you can't drink.
No, you're not allowed to. PSA are alcohol-free events,
yeah,
aren't they?
They are.
Oh, that's
you
a shame.
You can't drink. I mean, I don't know if they know.
Until the last dog outs, and then... I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either. I've never drank there. Only at decoy camp.
And, okay, how did obedience go with Axel?
Fantastic. We had some errors, but I was stomping round.
Nice.
I was stomping.
Double
like,
pace.
Yeah. I suppose just I was trying to get around that field. But I really enjoyed it. Once I'm out there, and I think a lot of people feel this way as well, and the warm-up area is all about trying to get in the zone. But as soon as you step foot onto that trial field and you see all the crowd there, you're like, well, I'm here now. Just
yeah,
do
in.
It. Show. You've got to show your dog off.
Yeah.
You put all that training in.
Mm-hmm.
Show that dog off.
And you did.
Yeah.
And then protection, how did that go?
Yeah, protection could have been better.
What did you score?
Oh, I don't know what we scored.
Oh.
I can't remember. I don't remember these things.
You haven't got it tattooed on you, though?
No. I don't fixate on the scores and things like that. I just think, where do I need to improve? Like, where was my dog's state of mind?
Do you have any tattoos?
Yeah.
Do you have any dog-related tattoos?
No.
Oh. Would you?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. No.
You wouldn't get, like, Axel Silla's name?
I've got a Mad Hatter.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I just really like
what else you got?
The Mad Hatter. Just like pretty things.
Oh, okay.
Feather.
Oh, okay.
Butterfly.
An infinity sign?
Have you got infinity? I don't have one of those.
All right, where were we? Four tattoos. Protection.
Know.
Don't keep score.
Yeah, I don't keep track of the scores. I do, obviously it's in your scorebook, so you see it and you think. I try and think where needed improvement, but now that we're out of the ones and we're going into the twos, it's like, where will those skills transfer from the ones to the twos, and where is he going to need help? What do I need to focus on?
Yeah, nice.
You know? But yeah, it's, the twos is like a whole new chapter now. And I know we've got to work through a lot of frustration with him.
Are you trialling in December?
Yes.
For the twos?
So far.
Saturday,
yes.
Sunday?
Just the Saturday.
Okay.
I try not to trial him 2 days in a row.
Just in case he gets savvy.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he will do,
he
right.
does. I've tried it before, and each time the second day I failed, so...
Okay.
Just
do one at a time.
Yeah.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know the logistics of actually transporting a dog to the States from the UK. How did that go, and what did you have to do, and what did it entail?
That, again, was another stress. The whole trip was just trigger stacking of stress. So... the first process is we had to organise the ferry to France.
Yep.
So from Dover to Calais, and you need a like health certificate from a UK vet to get into France.
Yep.
So I think that cost like £180. I might be wrong. 120, 180, something like that.
Just making numbers up.
Yeah. So a health certificate. You get into France. We then drove from Calais to Charles de Gaulle, Paris. We stayed in a hotel overnight, and we flew Air France from Charles de Gaulle to New York. For that, you just need a rabies vaccination, but it has to be an EU passport, and UK vets can't input a rabies vaccination into an EU passport.
All right.
So it gets really complicated.
Yeah.
It does. I'm lucky Axel already has an EU passport because he came from Hungary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he already has that, but I needed the French vet to input a rabies vaccine in there, and you've got to have that done 21 days before you fly.
Mm.
So I think, you know, if you're going to do things that way, I got away with it with having the rabies vaccine on like a health certificate,
yep.
a little health booklet that we have over here, and just getting another one in France. And then it was essentially just a booster.
Was it a costly?
Yeah. Yeah.
$5,000?
About that.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Adds up, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Gosh.
The flights. It's pretty cheap to get your dog on a flight from France. €400.
Yeah.
So It's good. Like, yeah.
Is everything else?
It's all the other costs. Like, you've got to get to France. You've got to stay in hotels and all the vaccinations. It's a lot. And obviously your flights and hire cars, all of that, accommodation. It all just adds up. Food, we've got to eat.
Worthwhile though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Loved it.
Yeah. I'm going to try
and
go
again.
Was it
in the top three best experiences of your life?
Absolutely, yeah. Like,
was it in the top two? Was it the top one?
Oh,
was it the best time
know.
You have?
I had a great time.
Did your husband
time.
Go?
No,
so
he
you can't
didn't.
Say.
I can't say it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
But it was amazing, and I'm going to try and go again next year. For me, when PSA came to England, in my head, you know, you set yourself like little goals.
Yep.
And it was my dream to go to nationals.
Yeah.
Like, that is. It, yeah, that was up there. This is my dream to go, and I did
you
it.
Did it?
And yeah,
nice box ticked.
Yeah.
What's your next goal?
PSA 2 at nationals.
Nice.
No, my next goal is just try and get that first leg of our PSA 2.
And if you went and got two legs of your PSA 2 within the next year, would you then have a crack at nationals again?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's good fun. There's a lot of competition out
How
there.
Did you find the standard of nationals versus the local trials here in the UK?
Very similar. Yeah. Very similar. It's just different because we're such a small community and we all know each other. And,
yeah.
You know, it's more relaxing when you're at a trial because, like, I might be competing against you, but I can talk to you and we can have a laugh and we can have a laugh about competing against each other, you know, and
yep.
It's fun. But out there, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know any of my competitors, and that
were
was a
people
challenge as
welcoming
well.
And
very.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they're really welcoming. It
you didn't
it
feel
was
any
nice.
Animosity between competitors?
No.
That's good.
Stop trying to bait me.
I'm not. I'm not. What? Oh, no.
No, not at all. Like,
that's good.
That was sort of a challenge more in my head than an actual challenge. Because I'm a very social person and I like to know my competitors. I'm super competitive.
April, the butterfly Hume, they call you.
The what?
The butterfly, the social butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard. What's a day in the life of April look like? You're a pet dog trainer as well as a PSA competitor. So What does the day-to-day stuff look like?
Usually wake up, feed the dogs, toilet the dogs.
How many dogs do you have?
Myself, three.
And does your husband
no, he doesn't have dogs. So just my dogs. I've got three dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Axel, Scylla, and
Rio.
And Rio's a Malinois?
No, he is a crossbreed. He's a Rottie cross Cypress hound.
And how old is he?
Eight.
Oh, okay.
Rio's done all sorts. He was like my what do you call it?
Guinea
like,
pig dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless him. And he's a great dog. But he wants the pet life. He wants
to chill out.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to chill out. I want to chase squirrels.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
my
two
dogs
now.
Are just currently at home with my mum that's staying with me at the moment and
yeah.
Did not want to come to work today. Opened the van, Stark flew in and they were like, we're going to stay here. They're like 6 and 7 crossbreed. Yeah. So
Rio's always up for having some fun. He doesn't take work very seriously. So he was a challenge. You know, and I used to do all sorts with him. So we tried kennel club obedience with him.
Oh, nice.
Agility, stent work,
yeah.
Protection. Tried it all with him. And he'll try these things. He's just never going to be...
maybe.
Yeah, he was never going to be a super competitor with... Yeah. But he taught me a lot. Which then when I got Axel...
Yeah, transfer it. And
yeah.
Yeah, you get a dog that's then made to work.
Yeah.
It's like,
he wants
like
to
a cheat
do
code.
These things. It is.
It's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of found that with my little, I got a Staffy cross German Shepherd and he could do things and he's quite trainable, but we had to like work really hard to get him to do these things. And then you get a Malinois and you're like,
this
is like,
just here. It's asking me to do the work.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you get up, you feed the dogs, and then
take
what do you do?
Take my son to school and then we head to the field to start training. I'll usually have a one-to-one at some point. Through the day, the maximum I'll have is 2 one-to-ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't have enough time. I've got to put work into my dogs and I've got residential dogs. So
don't let our staff hear you say that.
No.
We're both busting out 5 and 6 each.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah. No, I don't have time.
People can drag, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather work the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have a couple of residentials.
Yeah.
What residentials do you have at the moment and what do they need work on? I met a couple today, right?
Yeah, right now I've got Husker, the Doberman, yeah. James's.
He recently trialled in Ireland?
Yeah, he got his PDC. He came first. Nice. Did really well. I'm super proud of him. He's a great dog. And we're getting ready for the ones with him. We're getting ready for PSA 1, probably in the spring. He's nice. Doing well. He's doing well. He's doing really good. I'm happy with him.
Is he the first Doberman in the UK to get a PDC?
There was two that passed their PDC.
On the same weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I thought Husker was the only one, but there was two. There's another one. Ralph. The dog's called Ralph.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there was another Doberman who got his PDC, and no doubt will go on to do the ones because I've seen this dog before, and it's a nice dog. I think they've done IGP with it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's a nice dog. So I'm sure they'll be going for the ones as well. So the race is on.
Yeah, nice. So why would you opt for PSA over IGP or French Ring or?
Well, French Ring I would find quite limiting because of the you need breeding paperwork and all of that. IGP is similar. If you want to go to the top levels, you need breeding paperwork. PSA is
Zach still the BRN dog?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's Dutch. PSA is just, it's very inclusive. So any breed, it doesn't matter. Even the off-breeds.
They can do it.
Yeah. It's inclusive to all dogs. For Axel, for my dog, I wanted to do PSA rather than IGP because he can bite anywhere.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, we can train him for the sleeve and all that. I just don't think he's that dog. He's just not that dog. And I love IGP with all the precision work, but what's more fun about PSA is the sort of surprise aspect of it all.
Spontaneity.
It is, yeah.
It's crazy, yeah. Right?
Mm. It's
fun, really good fun.
It's good fun. And it makes training interesting, and it makes the team grow stronger, I think, because we've all got to be involved.
Yeah, the setup and the preparedness you need.
You need a good team
whatever
around
might
you.
Happen.
Yeah, and you need ideas. And yeah, I think that brings everyone together.
So you're going to be stuck on PSA now? You don't fancy any other sport?
Yeah, no, I don't fancy any other sport. I do kennel club obedience as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
I enjoy it. The precision work, similar to IGP. The precision work that is involved in kennel club obedience, like if you want to be successful in it.
You do it with Axel?
Yeah. It's insane the amount of precision that they require.
Are you conscious that you're not able and allowed to use tools in that?
Yes.
So it's another opportunity for your dog to become trial wise?
Yes.
But you don't give a fuck?
He's dumb. No. It's fine. Yeah, it's worth it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge. I'm very busy and I have a lot to do. But it's fun. I like to challenge myself, you know?
Yeah, nice.
His obedience is great in PSA, usually, touch wood, trialing next month. But, yeah, the kennel club obedience is like, it's... You can compare the two. Oh, hello. You can compare the two. They are similar in what's required, but the precision for the kennel club, because everything's so much smaller, the space... proximity, everything is so much more refined.
What's the kennel club obedience crowd like versus the PSA crowd? Like the culture, I mean.
You're baiting me.
I'm not baiting you at all. I just think it's old ladies with border collies.
It's the older ladies. There's some young people. And it's good to see there's some men in there as well.
Yeah.
That are successful. There's a lot of collies.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
I actually went to a trial.
But there's some amazing dogs, though, isn't there?
There are some fantastic dogs.
We should get them in to coach us. Yeah. Get our dogs to...
I do. I have an obedience instructor.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
You're not stealing her.
Okay. Everyone's got a price, April. Maureen's got a price.
Yeah.
She has. What's her name? What is her name?
Kathy Russell.
Write that down.
Kathy Russell. She's fantastic. She really is. She's...
There you go. You remembered someone's name.
I will, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll never forget Kathy. I pay her to literally tear me apart. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
She gets stuck into you.
Yeah.
We've done this podcast backwards, but tell us how you got into dogs and when you got into dogs.
I've always been into dogs and horses. I've always loved animals from a baby. I don't know where it came from because we're not a massive like animal family. But I just always craved to be with horses and with dogs and any other little furry things.
Nice.
Yeah, not any like bugs, just...
No, reptiles? Furry.
No, my husband's got a snake. Ooh. He's just, it's the most boring pet you could ever have.
I had a tortoise, I liked him. He was pretty cool.
They live a long time, don't
they? Yeah.
What did you do with him?
He died in hibernation.
Oh.
I know.
Are you sure he died? Because they can just come back, you know?
No, he died. We used to take him to the same place every year, and they'd put him in like big freezers and like shoe boxes to hibernate, and he died in hibernation.
Oh, that's sad. Okay. Sorry about
sometimes
that.
Like if you feed them too late,
right,
you got to fast them for like 5 days or something before they go in, so that like the food doesn't go off in them and then they die. So that probably happened.
Oh, that's really sad.
Thanks, April. Okay. Thanks for that. We're gonna bring your husband's snake up.
Sorry about that. I wish that one would die.
Just
didn't say that.
Feed it before it hibernates.
Oh dear.
So you were into animals?
Yeah.
Small fluffies, not snakes or birds. Birds?
Not really birds, no. Too like flappy. Pigeons.
Too flappy, no.
No. I told you I'm from Manchester. Like the most exotic bird we have is a pigeon.
Have you been to Australia?
No.
In Australia, the birds like we have, the pigeons to them are like, there's like parakeets and galahs and like big pink things and that. It's mental. You like go down the street and you're like, oh, look, there's a giant pink bird. And they're like, yeah, mate, that's like the pigeon to you.
Yeah.
Which I found mental. And there's more wild camels in Australia than there is Africa.
I didn't know they had camels.
Yeah, I know. Neither did I.
Wow.
Anyway, you were into flappies. Not into flappies.
Not into flappies. No. Just horses and dogs, really. And cats. I like cats as well. Yeah, and that, the most accessible thing for me was horses as opposed to dogs. I could get my hands on neighbours' dogs and things like that. I stole my neighbour's dog once.
Have you done any other jobs other than dog training?
Yeah, I've worked at stables. That was like job as a child. I was down the stables every weekend for either free lessons or a bit of cash.
Nice.
I've done a few other jobs. I worked in a pharmacy for 7 years. I also worked as a groom at a saddle club. What else have I done? Dog training.
How long have you done like professional dog training for?
Since 2018.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know how many years that is. Five.
Six, five,
five
six.
Six. Yeah, nice. Something like that. So I'm pretty new to professional dog training.
What don't you like about the job?
It's emotionally draining sometimes.
Yeah, fries you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. What I've more recently got into is people want, like, they want sport work and they want performance work, and I love that. Love it. Bring me the dogs for performance work.
If you're listening to this and you want your dog trained to PSA 1 and above at national level, April Hume, she's your girl. Do you have a business name, or is it?
Not really. Well, Crown PSA.
Yeah.
Or I have like Ideal Canine, but I don't really.
Do you use it anymore?
No, it's kind of, my business is more word of mouth.
Yeah.
Than, I don't do any promotion or anything like that. But yeah, behavioural work is emotionally draining. You know what it's like.
Mm.
It's hard. And oftentimes you get results, and then it's transferring that onto the owners. Sometimes owners don't want to do these things, and it can grate on you. It can weigh you down.
I find it when if you consistently care more than the owner, or you find yourself caring more than the owner, you leave yourself in like an emotional deficit that accumulates to the point you're just like, I can't
do it. And that's it. It's not the dogs. The dog's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And
dogs are easy.
Most owners that I work with are also brilliant. I'm very lucky, especially having word of mouth.
Yeah.
That I get really good owners who want to do what it takes to get their dog to be the best dog that it can be. They want a dog they can take everywhere.
We get loads of them.
Yeah.
But also we get some of the opposite.
But then some, it's usually just like, I asked on Facebook for a recommendation and you came up.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't actually,
you know, speak to someone and learn, oh, she April's like this and we did this and then we had to do that. And it was hard work, but it was worth it.
It was worth it, yeah. They don't have those conversations.
Instead of just like a tag.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I want.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is what it's going to take. And they're like, yeah, you can't do that. It's too much work.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, your dog has so much potential.
Talk to us about Crown. Crown PSA, what is it? How long has it existed?
Crown PSA, we started in January this year.
Where is it based? Should anyone want to come and visit your club?
We are in Chester. We have two clubs, one in Chester and one in Peterborough. The Peterborough club often trains at Bull Vision as well, which is in... tell me where it is.
Where is it?
Tamworth.
Tamworth, there you go.
I think so. I think they're still in Tamworth. Yeah, I got there eventually. Nice. Yeah, they have their own training facility and they also train at Bull Vision as well. Mm-hmm. It's good to get the dogs out different places, hence why we're here today.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed today?
Loved it, yeah.
Good.
Thank you very much.
We're coming to you on my 30th birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When is that?
3rd of December, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Sunday 3rd.
Yeah, so. Cool.
That'd be good. Exactly. I was going to go out the night before, but I don't want to ruin my day at Crown, so...
You'll probably just fit right in with your weird hangover.
I'll see if Jake will give me a lift down. I can't be driving that far.
Yeah, you can't. No, you can't. Yeah, maybe don't drink.
No. Go out the week after. I don't want to ruin one of the final prep days before trial, eh?
Yeah. Okay, good point.
Who's welcome to your club and why should they go and...
Right now, I think they're taking people on for Crown South. I think they are taking on new members. Crown North isn't right now. We are full. We have a lot of members and a lot of dogs that are ready for trial. So as you get dogs that progress up the levels, they take more time. So we can't have too many members. So right now we're not taking any new members on.
But that's good.
Yeah, I suppose that's
And the sport's
good thing.
Growing very, very quickly, right?
It is. There's demand.
Why? Why is PSA growing so quickly in the UK?
There's demand for it. There's, I think, a lot of dogs that are... there's a lot of dogs that can bite. And I think that's what we're good at. We're good at developing dogs to bite.
Yeah.
What we need to push more is control work. And there's certainly demand for it. People see it. I think they think, you know, okay, so now my dog can bite. What else can I do? What else can I do with this dog? Challenge it and control. It's a great thing having a dog that can bite a machine.
The UK's kind of getting well known for producing good dogs though, right? And is that...
I think so.
Yeah, anyone I've spoke to, they seem to think we have a wealth of good dogs to choose from.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Because we're so close to...
easily importable dogs.
Yeah.
Do you think AVD has a part in that?
Yeah.
Building tough dogs?
For sure, yeah.
Test the dog's caliber, right?
Yeah. If you want a dog that can withstand that much pressure, the breeding's got to be right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any amount of training that can go into creating a dog that can push through that pressure and come out successful.
Do that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, if someone wants to get into dog training, which we're asked about all the time, what do you suggest they may do? Like, it's probably one of the most common questions that
That's
I get asked on my
question.
Own Instagram is, how
I
do
wanna
I get
become
into
a dog trainer? Yeah. How do I do it? Get your hands on some dogs, your neighbor's dogs, like me. Get your hands on some dogs and learn. Study. I think reading is very important. Maybe courses. I don't really know what courses are available right now.
Yeah, I can't say I rate many of them.
I don't know. I did a couple.
I've done a few.
I don't think I learned that much, but I suppose I did theoretically. I will have learned a fair bit.
Yeah.
And reading.
Would you ever take on like volunteers to come and help you out or anything?
Probably. Yeah, I could. Mm-hmm. I've never had anyone ask.
We get asked all the time.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm. We've had some great people, like great staff members, start as volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, did it on the side of their job and then, like, learnt enough and then gone, like...
That's really cool.
All right, I'm going to take the jump.
Yeah. You have a good facility, though.
Mm.
I just have a field and
what
a van full
need?
Of dogs.
Do you have any sort of cover? What do you do in the rain? Just endure it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice, you're tough. Tougher than us.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Right. that's about us. I think we covered all we need to cover. I think you fucking smashed it.
Did I?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you have been on the Canine Paradigm now, so this is tiddlywinks for you.
I know.
But thank you very much for coming today.
No, thank you.
Looking forward to joining you the 3rd of December.
Yeah.
And, well, and then I'll see you at trial as well.
Yeah, good luck. See you on the field.
You too. See you out there, motherfucker. Thanks, April.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everyone.